Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
And good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. It's a Monday. Jim will join us at 9:30. Got all kinds of stuff to talk about with him. We'll try to hit some NFL here in the next segment. Kyler owns Jerry World still. The Bengals come back. They beat the Chiefs. They win a division. That makes the Titans the one seed at the moment in the AFC. Green Bay's now locked into the one seed in the NFC with the Cowboys losing. And then there was a bunch of weird stuff happening. Antonio Brown, lots of wildness yesterday in the NFL. College football weekend, after a dud on Friday with the playoff game, Saturday was fantastic with the Fiesta Bowl, then the Rose Bowl, then the Sugar Bowl. Oklahoma State with a historic comeback, largest in the history of the school to beat Notre Dame. Utah and Ohio State was awesome. Baylor defense was stifling against Ole Miss with and without Matt Corral. Playoff games, though, was a dud, man. And it just SEC final again. And so the SEC's bowl performance this year, we were making fun of it the other day, and it just continues to be what it is. It's Alabama. This year, Georgia. And everybody else is just kind of meh. Just the truth. But it's going to be the all-SEC final coming up on Monday. Wonder how many people will watch.
Oh, well, a lot of people in Alabama and Georgia, but outside of that,
yeah, I wonder, yeah, you know,
it's kind of like the what was told to me. It's like, well, that Monday just cleared up for me. Some people were telling me that.
It'll be interesting.
Hoping it would be somebody other than those two, but really, did we expect anything different?
I didn't.
I didn't either. I knew it was going to be those two.
So it'll be it's a lot to talk about, though, as far as that game, I think, coming up in the next week or so, just with perceptions. And I think people were shocked when they saw what the line was when it came out that Georgia was a favorite. And I think a lot of that just has to do with the recency bias of one game. And so now how much, you know, there's lots of things to unpack there. So we can get into that. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in, 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon Communications app. The app has all things. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News. It's got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, which will be back in full force this week with Tuesday games, tournament games. I mean, it's going to be wild from here on out through at least the first week of March with Big Elk TV and Paragon TV with radio broadcast and obviously the live streaming as well as we move on through the middle part toward the playoffs. Skinny on Sports Podcast. If you miss the show entirely, go back and listen on iTunes or KADSAM.com. Hello, Jared.
How are you?
Wonderful.
How's your long weekend?
It was great. I just told you off the air. On Saturday, we did nothing on Friday. Well, that's not true. We went out to my buddy Dustin's house, ate some great food, watched the Alabama-Cincinnati game, and then we headed home after that and watched Georgia for about a half, let's be honest. That got out of hand pretty quick, and then we moved on to something else against Michigan there. And then on Saturday, woke up, cooked breakfast, and literally watched football. It was great. It was like exactly what New Year's Day is supposed to be.
Exactly. It's nice that if New Year's Day fell on a Saturday.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's how you wrap up a football season. Get to watch football on New Year's Day with nothing to do. Plus the weather, you know, kept you indoors.
So yeah, it was cold.
What else could you do, right?
That's right. What about you?
About the same. Friday just took it easy for reasons can't bring to air, but just took it easy with me and my wife and the kids. And it carried over into Saturday. Saturday, I had all the intention on going to Norman to go to the basketball game. And then me and my buddy, we were kind of like, you know what? Probably not a good idea. It's probably not hard to get here, but coming home.
Yeah.
I'm kind of glad I did. I didn't want to drive through blowing snow. I don't know. There was a lot of reports of the traffic being bad. I just didn't want to chance it. And I thought, you know what, there'll be other opportunities. So I just stayed home and actually watched that game. You know, I know there's a lot of good football on, but I actually sat down and watched that basketball game because I was hoping to go to it. Like, well, I'm not there. I might as well watch it here. And that was actually an impressive win for OU when they had three guys out because of COVID and still able to hang on to win. And then what was that? That was Saturday. And then yesterday, actually came and worked a little bit and got home to watch that Dallas Cowboy game. So nothing major. Nothing major for the New Year holiday. Didn't go anywhere. Didn't do anything. That was the point. I even tried to go to sleep before midnight on Friday night, but my kid did not let me.
We did.
Had to get to midnight. She insisted on it. So me and her, Allie and my young one went to bed. They were out. But me and Katie, Katie said, we got to stay up, Dad. Got to stay up to midnight. So that's what we did.
We made it.
Then 12:05, I said, okay, it's time for bed.
Yeah, we were way asleep by the time that happened. Man, Saturday was an awesome day of football, starting with, every game was good. Iowa, Kentucky came right down to the wire with Kentucky pulling that one out, and then OSU and Notre Dame. The game started like Notre Dame was in a totally different class than Oklahoma State. I wonder how much Knowles moving on and then trying to figure out with a three-headed defensive coordinator job
kind of
going
reacclimated.
Yeah, like, and figuring out, you know, how to the signaling and everything, you know, the communication and all that. It seemed like it took a while to get things in order. But just like kind of what we've seen, you know, from Oklahoma State, both in Bedlam, then in the Big 12 title game, and now in the Fiesta Bowl, by the time they got things figured out in the second half, they were right back to that defense that they've always been, right? And throughout the season, just stifling Notre Dame's offense. And then, man, I told my wife after the game, I said, I'm just simply not tough enough. I don't know how you guys can do it. And do it mean be a fan of Oklahoma State football. I am not tough enough to go through what they put you through. And Spencer Sanders, if there was ever a player that epitomizes that thought, it's him. He was off the charts.
Right.
After about the first quarter on Saturday. And then you just look back and think, how is this the same dude that threw four picks in that Big 12 title game?
Exactly.
Man, it's just this is exactly what the idea of Spencer Sanders is. We're seeing it right here on this field against the gold helmet of Notre Dame, helping Oklahoma State in the largest comeback in their school's history. No, by the way, Notre Dame, I don't know that they'd ever blown a 21-point lead in the history of their school, right?
Yeah.
Just an incredible turnaround, and you're thinking, this is it. But if there was a game coming up Saturday, there's no way in the world that we could sit here and go, well, yeah, we're going to see that guy, because you don't know until basically the game is over.
Right. And to add to that as being, you know, and I don't want to dampen what was this season, because it was an awesome season for Oklahoma State, one of their best, if not the best ever. Others could argue 2011, the Holiday Bowl season with Sanders back in 88. Am I right? But – Not to throw water on the fire here, which is, I mean, a red-hot OSU program, but, you know, after 2011, it's like, all right, it's OSU football. We're going to be at the top. And then it took another 10 years to get back to this level. You know, will there be a drop-off? I hope not. I hope it maintains. You know what I mean?
Well, it has. I mean, listen, I get what you're saying, another conference title or whatever.
Right.
But let's not pretend like they took a giant dip. Oklahoma State has absolutely been the second-best program in the Big 12 in the past decade, or heck, even since Mike Gundy's been there. The early part of the Mike Gundy time, it was Texas, obviously, because they were playing in national title games, winning the conference a time or two there. But since Colt McCoy left Texas, it's not even close.
Oh, yeah.
It's Oklahoma State, and everybody else is as far behind them as they have been behind OU, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
But the frustrating part of it for OSU fans is that in that time, Oklahoma's kind of been the one to keep them out of that Big 12 spotlight. Because, I mean, how many times did it come down to that game? either before, when there wasn't a title game.
It was either for the title, that game.
It was, there wasn't a title game, so that game is the title.
Right.
You know, 15, 16, early season 17, it was earlier that year, mm-hmm. but not at the end. And then obviously there was some, you know, this year it went OSU's way. But I know what you mean as far as getting back to the Big 12 title, but this program is, I think it's at a level, I don't even know if Oklahoma State fans thought it could be as a consistently top 20, top 15 yeah. team in the country year in, year out, basically. I mean, there's everyone outside of Alabama has a dip here and there to where maybe they're not, you know, at that highest peak. But, I mean, you start naming them off, and it doesn't take very long to get to Oklahoma State.
Right. And I just throw out this caution, this word of caution to OSU fans, because they almost fell into this trap after 2011 where there were some rumblings of, we want Gundy gone. We need a coach to get us over the top. And listen, Gundy is your coach. He got you here. And if they don't get back to this level next year, you know those rumblings will return to some ill-advised fans. Don't do that. Don't do that. I think he's the guy.
Think how close an OAN t-shirt was from getting him fired, and how ridiculous that looks now.
Crazy.
Just ridiculous. And I know there's more that goes into it than just that, yeah. but that was kind of the catalyst that lit that fuse. But a heck of a win for Oklahoma State, a heck of a season for Oklahoma State. You know, I picked them to be in the Big 12 title game with Oklahoma, and it was more of a nod against Iowa State, just because I wanted to see how they could deal with the expectations.
Right.
There was not a lot of
expectations for OSU.
Well, and here, that's the thing that I'm thinking about is this. Over these years, the same years we're talking about, a lot of times, now next year, I'm sure there will be some. Now they lose guys, and I get that. But when Oklahoma State's expected to be good, a lot of times that's when the dip happens. And then when they're not, they surprise.
Right.
And so I think that is the next, you know, iteration of the program to really get it to where when OU and Texas leave for the SEC, to have that, we're the best in this Big 12 solidified. And I think they can do that. I really do. I when you look at the programs coming in, sure, there's some solid ones, but I don't know that there isn't anybody that's been on Oklahoma State's level for the past decade, and that's Mike Gundy, that's Holder, that's Boone Pickens' money all wrapped into one. But to me, it's Gundy ahead of all that. And I know it's kind of a chicken and the egg thing. I get it. Does it happen without Boone's money? All that. But I know it doesn't happen without Mike Gundy. Period. End of story. And I think other coaches could have screwed up Boone's money. He didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's taken that program to a level that it's never been.
So, again, I say again to OSU fans, if they're going to go in the next year with high expectations, that's a given. And if they don't reach those, or if they get to another 10-win season but without a Big 12 title and all of a sudden you're talking, well, we need a coach, don't do that. Don't do that. Gundy's your guy.
It'll be interesting. Defensively, it was something that hasn't been there in years. I do think, like on my text line there, or text I got, maybe a little bit of an anomaly just because of the age of some of these guys and
seniors,
the experience of these guys. Some of that is definitely the truth. But at the same time, you looked out there, dude, number six, Muhammad, had he played? I'm dead serious.
I don't know.
I don't remember him at all.
I don't either.
Throughout the season. And he was out there making plays at one of those corner spots. I mean, making plays.
Yeah.
And so, you know, some of that's true. There's no doubt. And I think the adjusting, another one, you know, how many times this year did you see Oklahoma State come in the second half defensively and just shut people down?
Right.
It happened almost every game in the second half. The question was, did they do it to start? And a lot of times they did that too.
Yeah.
But, you know, that also goes back to the experience. But also, you know, just the willingness to adjust. You know, a lot of coaches don't have that. Knowles did, and obviously the guys this weekend did as well. Willingness to adjust, and also the guys on the field knowing what to do when that adjustment happens. So, heck of a year for OSU, heck of a game, heck of a comeback. And that just got it started, because then the Utah-Ohio State, oh my gosh.
Good night.
What a classic. And you know what? Jackson Smith and Jigba, still open.
Yes.
Set an all-time record for bowl games, what, 347 receiving. You know what was interesting? He caught 15 of the 16 targets. That's how open he was. Only one time did they throw him a ball as incomplete. Utah, almost a storybook ending with the, I can't remember his name, Branson Barnes coming off the bench after Rising got slammed to the ground as a true freshman walk-on that was showing pigs just like 8 months ago. And led his team to a touchdown. But who in their right mind didn't think that Ohio State was coming right back down the field?
Absolutely.
And it was like taking candy from a baby with Ohio State, because they were so positive that they could kick a field goal that they weren't even like hustling around. It was like, all right, we're going to get down here. It's like the NFL. We're going to take all the time off the clock. I have no idea what Kyle Whittingham was doing, having all three timeouts taken to the house. And then Ryan Day calls a timeout with 12 seconds left, his last one. I mean, I get it. If your holder has the presence of mind to spike it, if it's a bad snap, you can go again on third down. Are we sure the holder was going to have that? I mean, that was just silly the way that game ended with the clock management and all that, but a classic in the Rose Bowl. And I'll tell you what, we make fun of the Rose Bowl a lot. I mean, I know I do, for the pageantry and the respect that they think it deserves. I will say this. It delivers almost every year a great game.
Yeah, great atmosphere.
As much
great,
as the rest of them.
Yeah, yeah. And I get all that, the old-timey stuff, and want to maintain that. But it does deliver. They always find the matchups somehow. Sometimes by luck, just because Ohio State just wasn't in the playoffs, and you get that matchup, and Utah was coming in as a hot team, as a Pac-12 champ. So we got a great matchup. But, yeah, it typically does deliver. It's appointment TV.
No doubt about it.
On New Year's Day.
Man, we got a bunch of questions on the text line that we will get to tomorrow, because I have all these things as notes in my phone. And it's NIL ruining college football. It's the opt-out stuff with Matt Corral and how that went down. It's funny how that was perceived. And then also recruiting stuff, you know, with what OSU did. The exact question here: would you rather have a three-star that stays around like a Malcolm Rodriguez, or do you want the more talented guy, supposed more talented guy, if he's just going to be there for three? You know what I mean? Like, it's an interesting topic.
It is.
To get to. Let's talk about the playoff games and Baylor as well. You know, Baylor, I'll tell you what, for the second time in 5 years, that Baylor program has made an unbelievable turnaround from one season to another. You know, you think about 2018, what are they, 1-11? And then Matt Rhule turns them in 2019 to 10-1, 10-2 at the end. I guess they probably end up 10-3 because they lost the bowl game. But from a two-win team, a one-win team, to on the cusp of the Big 12 title, it went to overtime that year against OU. Rhule leaves, Aranda shows up last year. I know it was the COVID year, it was a little bit disjointed, but still a horrible year, 2-10. And then he turns that around to 12-2, the Big 12 champs, and winning the Sugar Bowl. Incredible, like, four-year stretch for Baylor, where they were either the doormat or the best team in the league.
Well, they know how to hire, because you got to wonder, how long is Aranda going to be there?
You know, I don't know how he's still there. Think about all the jobs that were open.
That's true.
But is it his I mean, because, listen, I don't – but when you watch him – and the camera's on him, as things are going crazy around him, he's so calm and he's so collected. I mean, he reminds you, like, does he have the mentality of, like, a serial killer?
Because you know what he looked like?
I mean,
you know,
just stone face.
You know what show I watched this week? I did a lot. I didn't say that. I mentioned I binged watched a lot of shows I haven't been able to watch. I watched the first episode of The Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
He looks like Boba Fett without his helmet on. Yeah. Just this grizzly, totally bald, stone-faced killer.
I mean, he actually did raise his hand at one point. I think when Walcott was going down the field on the pick six, I think he did raise his hands up in the air one time just to celebrate that. I mean, but it was like he was barely, wasn't even smiling.
No, I've never seen the dude smile.
And so maybe that's the problem. Like, he's not charismatic enough to win a press conference. But I got news for you. You know what he is?
He's a winner.
A damn good defensive coach.
Yeah.
Look at what he's done, man.
Yeah.
He kills Lincoln Riley for the 2 year, well, 3 years in a row at LSU in the playoff, both years when he was at Baylor against Oklahoma. He just killed Jeff Lebby. Now, I get it. That wasn't the Ole Miss offense that we were expecting to see because Corral twisted his ankle. I get it. But still, he demolished them. And he's been – he was one of only two defenses in the entire country not to give up 30 points in a game this year. Them and Clemson, I believe, were the only two. So that's incredible year
for
Baylor.
I hope he does stick around long enough for Venables to build up his defense and watch those two defenses
clash. It could be
clash.
Like a 1980s or something.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Or maybe what we see next Monday as the playoff ends up, Alabama and Georgia both pretty handily winning. Cincinnati, 27-6, they lost. They were never really in. I mean, they had chances early to kind of stay around. The guy went up high, couldn't snag the touchdown. The play before, it was a touchdown, and then Bama knocks it down at the line of scrimmage to make it 7-7. But once that game got in the second half, it was never in doubt. And then Georgia just rolled Michigan from the word go. These have been the two best teams all year, or one of them for sure, Georgia, and then Bama, Ohio State kind of went back and forth as who everybody thought was the second best, it seemed like at times. But once you saw the matchups for the playoff, I think this is what, at least what I expected, was Georgia and Alabama, and now we get to see that reiteration of that game from 2017.
Yeah, I think there's never really doubt who the two best teams were. Now, if we're going to complain like, oh, it's another boring matchup, but I think at the end of the day, we're getting the top two teams in the country to play for the national title, which is what we want anyways. I know it's boring because it's two SEC teams again. It's Alabama again. It's Alabama-Georgia again. But it's hard for me to find fault in the playoff committee. The question, I think, if you're going to criticize the playoff committee is, did Cincinnati deserve to be there? Did Michigan deserve to be there? Who could have replaced them if they didn't deserve to be there? That's a whole other topic for another day. But at the end of the day, I think they got the top two teams right.
Yeah, I mean, there was nobody else. It had to be those two.
It had to be, right.
It had to be those two.
At first, early in that Fiesta Bowl, I thought, man, maybe Notre Dame should have been there before Cincinnati. But then here comes OSU and shut me up. So,
well, I think that's the more interesting question to me is if you go back and look, the semifinal games have not been competitive. Very, very few have been competitive. Why is that, and how do you fix it? Does a 12-teamer fix that in this way? Even though the teams that are the top four will have a bye, they don't have a whole month to prepare.
True.
Just a week to prepare for whoever comes out of the
wins.
They got to
wait
for
an opponent.
They have to wait for an opponent. And so is that a way maybe that it can trip up a little bit to where these games
– a little bit more parity.
These games could be a little bit more competitive. Maybe the same teams keep winning, but at least it's enjoyable to watch because those two – on Friday, we're pretty well duds
they were duds,
especially after halftime in the Bama and from halftime of Bama Cincinnati on.
Yeah,
it just
knew
wasn't
early
fun to
watch. On that the way that game was going, the Georgia Michigan game, like,
oh, it was over.
It's over. This thing's over. Why am I
17-0 in the first quarter?
That's why I turned it and started watching Hawkeye.
Yeah, I mean it wasn't good.
Yeah.
Saturday made up for it though. Boy, those were good games. And so then it makes you think: can one of these maybe pull an upset if there was more? Speaking of that Western Oklahoma Realty Bowl pick'em, Jared.
Do we have to talk about it?
Are there two games left?
Yes.
Oh, it looks like there's a winner then because somebody's three games ahead.
That's great.
It's me.
That's great.
So I guess I get to keep the prize. No worries. Anyway.
We'll just roll it over to next year.
Thanks to Tyler and Robbie there, Western Oklahoma Realty Bowl pick'em. Yeah, we have two prizes next year somebody can win.
There we go.
Joining us now is the voice you'll hear at 2 o'clock right here on these airwaves. It's the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how are you doing?
I'm good, fellas. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Just getting back into the swing of things after kind of a choppy last 2 weeks. How was your Christmas? How were the holidays for you?
It was good. I've been sick. It's the craziest thing, man. My mother-in-law, my father-in-law, my daughter, they all got COVID. I was around them. Julie was around them. We both got sick. I felt for sure that I had the COVID, but I got, not only did I get a rapid test, but I got like the big test, went to like the health department to get a test. Still, I don't have it. So I'm just guessing, fellas, that I'm just such strong like bull, man, that I can't get it. I don't know what to tell you.
Well,
Julie, too. We just can't get it.
Man, there's a lot of...
Real quick, though, I got to say something.
Okay.
Because I haven't been on with you guys in a long time.
That's right.
I had one of the greatest Christmases ever, man. I mean, first of all, I had my whole family here, and we just had the great food, and everything was wonderful. And then I got to watch Baker Mayfield stink it up like no end. And then later that night, Russell Westbrook stink it up. I mean, what a great day it was for me. I'm telling you. Christmas, it seems like it was a month ago, but it was a great. And then, of course, I turned 60 years old the next day, so it was a great Christmas.
Let's start with, OSU, and then we'll get to the NFL stuff after that. An incredible game. I thought the Fiesta Bowl almost kind of mirrored the way that the season went. It was a little bit of a slow start, and then like the defense has done all season long, the second half, they adjusted to whatever was happening if they needed to, dominated, and then Spencer Sanders did what Spencer Sanders does, and that's just frustrate the heck out of you. Thinking back to the way he played against Baylor, and then on Saturday, maybe his best game of his career. I told my wife, I'm not tough enough like she is to be an OSU fan because I can't deal with the ups and the downs that come with being that. And I think if anybody ever has encapsulated that, it's Spencer Sanders as a player at the quarterback at OSU.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'll just say I agree with Mike Gundy. I think it was the best win in the history of the school. When you consider, you know, two top teams and, you know, New Year's Six Bowl, and it's Notre Dame, first time you ever played them. But I'll tell you this, fellas, if that game does not show Mike Gundy and that entire staff that Spencer Sanders is so much better when he plays fast, I don't know what does. I mean, he literally, if you put a true serum in him, I guarantee you he would tell you, I loved it. I mean, when they were playing fast, fellas, that was impressive, really impressive. And I'm not saying that he won't still make mistakes. I think that he's one of those guys that, and I've been around athletes like this my whole life in different sports. If you just tell them, you see that right there, go do it. They're as good as you get. But if you say to them, you see that right there, well, that's red and it's kind of rounded and we need to do this, then they're like, oh, okay. But when you tell them go, they do it. And that's him, fellas. That's what he did in that game the other day, if you ask me. He was so impressive. You know, the defense just got lit early. I thought Notre Dame had a great, and I mean a great game plan. They basically said what Al Especk and I have said on the air for years and years. If there's a team, if somebody's really good at something, don't try to force it against them. I never understand that. And you're not going to run the ball on OSU. You're just not. And you're not going to be able to drop back and throw deep, deep passes because, obviously, of their pass rush. So I thought that Notre Dame had a great game plan. They said, we're going to throw short passes. We're going to get rid of the ball. And if you blitz us, we're going to send somebody out of the backfield, and you're not going to cover them. And then my quarterback's just going to back up and throw the ball to him. It was brilliant. Now, they adjusted. If you noticed in the second half, they didn't blitz as much, and I thought that they did what they had to do in the second half. But even with Notre Dame's brilliant game plan, OSU figured out a way to win. But, man, I'll tell you, next season, OSU's got a chance to be really good, fellas. I know, Skinny, the OU fans don't like hearing that. They got a chance to be really, really good. The defense, they're going to lose some great players, but they got a lot of tremendous players coming back. Wide receivers, there won't be a team in the country that'll be better than OSU wide receiver wise, especially with the kid from Edmond Santa Fe and then the other the second Presley brother, who everybody says is better than this one. So if they can find an offensive lineman or two to help out, obviously they need a running back, but I think they'll be okay back there. They always find people. No one thought anything about Jalen Warren when the season started. And if Spencer Sanders plays well, this team will be right there to win the Big 12 championship again next year. Again, I said they didn't win it, but they'll be right there to win it. But the key's going to be, let Spencer Sanders go. Let him run the offense the way he likes to run it. I'm telling you, he looks so much different running the fast offense. It wasn't even close. And so, it's hard for me to believe that these coaches up there don't see the same thing that I see.
So as a former quarterback, what is it about being able to play fast you think that suits what he does well?
I just don't think that you don't need it. There's no thinking. I think you think too much when you get in the huddle. They give you the play. You look around. I don't think he's suited for that. I never watched him play a game down in Texas, but I'm going to bet you that they played it with some tempo. That's just my guess. And he's good at it, man. He's really good at that. And let me tell you, they ran him, too. How long have you heard me say on the radio, you've got to run the kid? He's a better runner than he is thrower. See, I think certain people get into grooves when they're doing the things that they like. And when they very first played from scrimmage, he ran the ball. It was a design run. And then they went away from it a little bit. But then in the second half, either by design or not by design, he ran some. I mean, what did he run for, 120-something yards? He had almost 500 total yards. I thought it was hilarious, the announcers. I don't know if they watched film all year, but they kept going, this is the all-Big 12 quarterback. By default, he was the all-Big 12 quarterback. It wasn't like he had some great season. But I'll tell you what, if they let him do – now, again, he's still going to make mistakes. If there was a play – you guys probably don't remember it, but there was a play in the second half where he dropped back and he had good protection, and he started to move up in the pocket, and he was looking, and everybody was covered. And I'm telling you, earlier in the season, he'd have thrown the ball and probably got it picked off. He took off. He ran up the middle for about 12 yards. I mean, if you convince him to do that and then play fast, you've got yourself an offense, fellas. I really believe that. Now, I don't know if they're going to do it. I don't know if the coaches up there will do it. I really thought that this game was a little bit of an audition for the offensive coordinator. I really do. And I guess he passed because they started running faster. I don't know who that was. I don't know who said to do it. But when they did it, they were obviously a lot better. And if they don't do that next year, fellas, you'll want to listen to me on the radio because I'll rip them. Because I think that is the way for them to be the best that they can be. Run it. And they got one of the greatest strength coaches in the country. All the teams, the Rob Glass will have them in shape. If Mike Gundy, gets with Rob Glass and says, hey, next year our offense is going to go fast and we need to be in even better shape, then Rob Glass will get him in better shape. So it's simple as that. If OSU wants to win a championship next year, they got to be fast because I think the rest of their team, fellas, is good. Their defense is going to be good again. I don't care who they bring in as defense coordinator. They're going to be good again.
There are a ton of OSU fans who don't want to hear expectations because me and Aaron were saying this earlier. They in the years where they have high expectations, they disappoint. In years where they don't have high expectations, where no one expects them to do anything, they exceed. Like this year, for example, how do they buck that trend? Because they're going to go in, like you said, as one of the favorites in the Big 12 and arguably a top 10, if not maybe in a top 5 team next year. How do they buck that trend to stop disappointing when there's a lot of expectations about them?
That's a great question. I don't want to be like simplistic, but get over it. That's about all I can say. I mean, get over it. Get rid of the daggone attitude of, oh, we want to be on the down low. Okay, I mean, don't you want your program to be big time? If you want a big time program, then people are going to talk about you. So, yeah, I would just say get over it. I don't think there's any other way to say it. I don't think there's a way to do it. Go out, accept that you've got a chance to be really good, and go be good. And don't lose some stupid game. They got a chance next year. I'm telling you, fellas, they got a chance. I think OU, and you both, I know both of you guys are OU fans. I think you'll agree with me. Look, that was a good win and everything, but I don't think your defense is going to be real good next year. I'm sorry, unless a bunch of young dudes really step up. We saw that defensive backfield again. I do think that Venables will be interesting to see what he and his new coach will do. Offensively, I think they got a chance to be good. But I don't know, man. I mean, as of right this second, I think I'd pick OSU to win the Big 12. I really do. Now, I could change between now and August. So, I would just say, everybody get over it. You're going to be one of the favorites. Deal with it.
Around the country, man, the playoffs on Friday was a bit of a dud, especially after halftime of Bama and Cincinnati. Ends up being Alabama and Georgia again. Will the expanded playoff, can it fix how non-competitive the semifinal games have been. I mean, when you think back through the years, Oklahoma and Georgia was close. That first year, Alabama, Ohio State was close. Outside of kind of those couple of games, these semifinals have been blowouts year after year after year. Can the expanded playoff make that time off for, like, Saban and Smart shorter? Because, you know, they'll be in the top four. If it's 12, there's a game before they get to play. Now that's only a week to prepare. Is that a way to make some of these games a little bit more competitive before the final? Or is it just, hey, Alabama's better than everybody, and some years so is Georgia?
Yeah, I mean, I just hate to say, I think it's the latter. The SEC, I think it, you know, as a whole, if not as great as everybody thinks it is, or the people down there. But these two teams at the top, I mean, I got to tell you, all I could do, fellas, as I watch the bowl season is just think how far everybody's away. I mean, OU, they're so far away from Alabama and Georgia, guys. I mean, they really are. I hate to say it, but they are. And, of course, OSU is too. I think a lot of these – now, Ohio State, you know, we'll see. I mean, I think that next year – I mean, Jim Knowles has got a lot of work in front of him. I mean, that defense isn't very good, especially that defensive backfield. But a team like Ohio State's got a chance. I don't know how Clemson's going to come back. But they're just – both of these teams are unbelievable. They just are. And I'll just say this, fellas, and I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me. Dude, please don't put another daggone group of five team in this thing unless it gets to 8 or 12 teams. Cincinnati, they were so out. You know, I'm sitting on the couch watching the game. And I know people are going to say, Jim, it was only, what was the final score? 27-6. What was it? I can't remember.
Yeah, 27-6, yes.
Yeah, and on TV last night they were saying, well, you know, look, it was only 27-6. It could have been 100-6, okay? I mean, Alabama just took their time and ran it right down their throat. And I'm sitting here, you know, Julie, my wife, is from Alabama. She used to live in Tuscaloosa, and all of her friends and families are all Alabama fans. She came in to sit and watch a little bit of the game. And after about, I don't know, 5 to 10 plays, she looked over me and she said, you know, gosh, Alabama's a lot bigger than this team, aren't they? And I was like, yeah, I said, they made them look like boys. And I said, yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, Cincinnati, tremendous year. But who'd they beat, guys? Who did they beat? Houston and SMU? I know they beat Notre Dame, but look, Oklahoma State beat Notre Dame. If Cincinnati, I'm telling you right now, if Cincinnati was in the Big 12, they would have been fighting for about fourth place. Sorry. I mean, I know that everybody's like, oh, come on, Jim, who else would you put in there? You know my answer to that? Anybody. I'd have rather seen, now, Baylor, OSU, whoever, I think they'd have gotten beat by pretty bad by Alabama, too. But this whole thing about, look, I'm all for underdogs, but I want the underdogs to be even. And Cincinnati went and played Notre Dame this year, and they played Indiana, who wasn't as good, you know, they wasn't good as people thought they were going to be. But I'm sorry, man. That was such a mismatch. It was ridiculous. And guys, don't tell me, what about Michigan? Michigan beat some good teams. Ohio State, Michigan State, they lost to Michigan State. Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin. I mean, they beat some teams that could very easily win the American Conference. So I don't want to hear about these group of five teams anymore, guys. I don't want to hear about them. If we get to an 18 playoff or a 12 team, put them in. But not four. Sorry, not four. They were not the fourth best team in the country. They weren't.
No, it's almost like, okay, we saw it. Now, don't do it again. And you know, in the next couple of years. Right. Because they were never beating it. And you're right. Alabama, after the first drive, it was like, okay, we can score anytime we want. If we can shut them down, then let's just run the clock and be as careful as we possibly can. And
you know what?
They knew they're going to win.
After Cincinnati took the ball and went down and made it 7-3, there were a bunch of people going, okay, we got a football game. I'm sitting on my couch going, this is ugly. I'm sorry. You know, we all know Alabama's defense has not been as good, but they figure out ways. So this is not the best Alabama defense, right? We all agree. It hadn't been one of the best. And they give up this great team 6 points?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. I mean, that was just – if Alabama – if he wanted to win by 40 or 50, he could have won by 40 or 50. He didn't even throw the ball that much. They just ran the ball with that big old stud they got running back. So, I don't want to hear about the group of five anymore. I'm tired of it.
All right, let's switch gears to yesterday around the NFL. Boy, Kyler Murray owns Jerry's World. They kept on talking about the record throughout the game. He still hasn't lost there. Boy, Dallas's offense came alive a little bit late. But you can see the flaws. Prescott a little shaky, couldn't run the football against what was a pretty depleted Arizona Cardinal defense. We'll probably see that game in 2 weeks, depending on how things shake out. What does Dallas have to do to turn that result around in a couple of weeks in the playoffs?
Well, first of all, for the first time after hearing it for, 100 years, the Cowboys are definitely better. Okay? They're definitely better. Yeah. I mean, they've done some really good drafting. They've figured out, you know, some good players. They got some good players on defense. You know, the young kid is a budding superstar. But let me tell you, this team reminds me a lot of the 2011 Oklahoma State team. All right? Their defense was average, but they did such a great job at getting turnovers that it made them a lot better. And that's what the Cowboys are. And I said on the radio a couple weeks ago, I said, look, when you get into the playoffs, like, do you think that if they were to play Green Bay, that Aaron Rodgers is going to turn the ball over 3 or 4 times? He never does. Sorry, fellas.
That's right.
So I'm just saying that they're better, but their offense better get a lot better if they're going to win a playoff game. Because the defense, when you don't turn the ball over, their defense is good, it's decent, but it's not great. You saw what's-his-name get burnt deep because they take so many chances to get turnovers. And I thought that Kingsbury basically said, okay, Diggs, I know you're going to break on things. Watch the double move. They did the double move, and they burnt it. So the Cowboys are definitely better. And, you know, maybe next year they'll have a chance to fight with the big boys, but I just don't think it's going to be this year. I don't. I really don't. If you look at the last – they put that up on the screen. Did you see that, guys, during the game where they put up on the screen the last 5 quarterbacks they beat?
Yeah. Oh,
did
yeah.
Did you guys see that?
Oh, yeah.
Fellas, I mean, you talk about 5 dudes that probably don't even belong in the league. You know, so, again, I don't want to take away because I've ripped the Cowboys before and their fans because they always think they're going to be good. Well, this year they are good. But what happens with the Cowboys and others, like the Browns, is when they get good, then suddenly they're better. And when they're better, they're even better. And they're even better. Well, they're not even better, fellas. They're not. They got a chance to win one playoff game. And it depends on who they play. I mean, they're kind of lucky, I think. Well, I mean, I guess if they play the Cardinals, you know, but they're kind of lucky that they didn't have to play the Rams in the first round because I think they'd have gotten beat by them. But maybe the Cardinals would be tough, too. And if the Cardinals, if that game's in Jerry's world, Cowboys fans better hope that Kyler Murray doesn't come.
Yeah, that's why that loss yesterday was so crushing, because instead of getting maybe New Orleans or maybe the Eagles, somebody like that, you're either going to get the Rams or the Cardinals in the first, you know, the first game, and that's so much tougher than it should have been if they were able to put that one away. I want to get your thoughts because I know this was a guy that you loved at one point and really soured on at his time toward the end at Pittsburgh, and that's Antonio Brown. What happened yesterday, I've never seen in sports at all the way that transpired. You had been at the end against him and wanted him off the team, like the Steelers did because they're smart enough to do it. Is this the end for Antonio Brown, or will somebody else give him a chance because he's still so talented of a receiver?
I don't want to say it's definitely the end because in our disgusting world right now, very few people care about morality and about what you're supposed to do. But I got to tell you, man, if I'm a fan of a team and they pick him up, I would seriously consider not being a fan anymore. I really would. I don't know how in the world anybody could come out and have a press conference and go, yeah, we're going to bring in Antonio Brown. I mean, listen, they shouldn't have let him come back from his fake COVID thing. I mean, they lied about, oh, he's got one chance. Oh, well, it's best for the team. Is it really best for the team? I mean, they were lucky to beat the Jets yesterday. And Antonio Brown, as they're getting beat, he's ripping his clothes off. I mean, the dude is just crazy. Now, let me tell you all a quick story that I've never told on the radio, okay? Baseball players are the most, you know, idiotic dudes you've ever seen in your life. I don't know if you all know this, but one of the dreams of baseball players, okay, and it's very quiet, but one of the dreams of baseball players is to end their career by making an out at first base and ripping off their jersey and everything and running down the right field line. I'm just telling you, that is one of the dreams of baseball players.
I know that sounds ridiculous, but it is. You know, and obviously after having a great career.
Right.
But just, you know, hitting a ground ball to the second baseman, running down to first, they throw you out, you're out, and then you just rip your jersey off, you rip off your undershirt, you rip off your pants, and you just run out in your underwear. That's one of the dreams of baseball players. That's how crazy baseball players are. So it did remind me a little bit of something that was kind of interesting. But anyway, yeah, the dude is just he's just ridiculous, man. He's absolutely ridiculous.
My final question on staying in the NFL, how about Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals getting that win yesterday against the Chiefs? How big of a moment is that for Cincinnati and coming back from where they were? The rebuild appears to be in full force, and Joe Burrow looks the part. How big was that?
Oh, it makes me disgusted, obviously. but he's impressive. I mean, and they got some boy, they got some wide receivers, fellas. I mean, they got some wide receivers. Although I wish he would have thrown the ball to T. Higgins. I was in the finals of the fantasy yeah. team. He scores 50-something the week before, and he barely gets anything this time. They're good, man. They're good. They're not winning any championship this year, but for them to win that division, although it's not a great division, but it's impressive for them to get there and win that thing. And I don't know if they're going anywhere because they're pretty young. Now, you know what happens with football? They're going to have to give Joe Burrow an unbelievable contract. That means that they're not going to have all these players, okay? They're not going to stay because they're not going to be able to pay them all. So that's going to be something that you'll have to look for, but... Yeah, Cincinnati, that's pretty impressive. It really is, and I'm happy for the Zach Taylor kid. Now, can I say one last thing before I go?
Yes.
So I'm just letting you all know, folks. I'm coming out there tomorrow to see you guys. Are we going? We're going to go to lunch tomorrow?
Yes.
I'm coming out to Rob's Ranch again out there in Sayre. Tonight would be one of the greatest nights of my football-watching career, okay? If Ben Roethlisberger, who, by the way, I said shouldn't even be there anymore, but if Ben Roethlisberger on his last game in Heinz Field could obliterate the Cleveland Browns and have them finish dead last in the division. I'm going to tell you, normally losses by the Steelers don't do much to me. Like, the worst one ever was to your Cowboys, you know, when
Neil O'Donnell.
Neil O'Donnell couldn't figure out whose jersey was what in the game. That was probably one of the toughest losses as a Steelers fan, but just regular losses, they don't do a lot to me. I get upset and then I'm done. But I'm going to tell you, I'll be upset if the Steelers lose tonight because to just beat Baker Mayfield down in the Browns and have them finish last after everybody, oh, I think they're a Super Bowl contender, oh, blah, 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 blah. It would be a great night for me, so... Hopefully at lunch tomorrow with you guys, I'll be a happy man.
It might determine where we go eat if they win or lose.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, figure out some good place to eat, man, because I'm ready to come.
Hey, we'll definitely do it. Jim, thanks so much for joining us. Glad to hear your voice again, that you're back and be on the airwaves, as we definitely missed your thoughts last week throughout everything that was going on after Christmas. Appreciate it, and we'll see you tomorrow.
All right, fellas, thanks. See ya.
The Ultimate Jim Traber joining us on a Monday, as he does when he's healthy each and every week. Yeah, I knew he was going to have some thoughts about tonight because that is, it looks for like Ben, final game in Heinz Field. The only thing
that'd be the proper way to win that game and then gracefully leave the field, unlike Antonio Brown.
He's kind of already mentioned. It started last week, you know, or earlier, yeah, you know, I guess this last week, that this is probably it there.
Right.
And to defeat the Browns again. I've seen that number. Hang on.
But how dominant they've been over them?
Yes.
What's the line on that, I wonder?
Here we go.
29-6-1.
17-1 at home. I think the only time he's ever lost to him was in the playoffs last year at home. It was the only home loss to the Browns.
Yeah, it's pretty dominant. Pretty dominant.
It's incredible.
Yes.
It's like Brady against the Jets. See that number yesterday?
No, but I
Oh, my God. It's like 39-3 or 39-6 or something
Doesn't
like that.
Doesn't shock me whatsoever.
But, yeah, that game lost a lot of its luster tonight when Cincinnati ended up beating the Chiefs and then the Chargers – when they won, that knocked Cleveland out of playoff contention. So now it's just the Steelers, and the Steelers are hanging by a thread, basically, because they're going to need a lot to go their way. Winning two games would be the first thing, and we'll see if they can do that against the Browns. And then next week at the Ravens. So we'll get into those playoff scenarios. They've cleared up a bunch from last week as we kind of started thinking about doing that one day on the air, and it was like, never mind. Let's just wait till like Tuesday.
Right.
We'll be able to figure that out a lot better. But that'll be fun. And then there's so much stuff to talk about as far as kind of not necessarily off the field, but things that aren't pertaining to games with NIL, with in the college football playoff, how to make that more competitive. I think there's a lot of different ideas out there that can work. The opt-outs are a huge topic of conversation right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's going on, the Antonio Brown stuff, and how that figures with everybody else, and just the way that went down. That's going to be something that everybody's going to be talking about for the next couple of days. And so, you know, this is kind of that point where we're in between, gearing up for the playoffs, gearing up for the national title game, and not wanting to – I mean, we can't just sit here and break down the X's and O's of Alabama, Georgia for a whole week. So get your questions in. We'd love to what topics you guys have that you want to hear about and want us to talk about. Fire them in. We had some of those today on the text line. On a Monday, it's hard to get to because of Jim and we're so busy, but we'll have a lot of time going forward to get into some of those different issues within both college football, the NFL, and so on and so forth.
And, you know, we're like you mentioned at the top, it's January 3rd. Tomorrow will be the start of a lot of basketball.
Yeah.
Then locally.
Then there will be that sprinkled into. I think I was thinking about this. Funny you say that. On the way, our idea of the – like the Zoom –
Oh, right.
To get
like in,
and I was thinking about that and how that would work. Maybe we could just, instead of that, kind of go pick like the team of the week and talk to their person.
I like it.
How you feel about that?
I like it.
All right, we'll talk about it more off the air and get you an idea tomorrow. Everybody have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
Hey!